8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat, tell us 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Yo, yo, what's going on? This your boy, Rick Rock. Welcome back to another episode. Special Monday night episode. And what about that Monday night game, people? It was one of the best Monday night games, actually shocking Monday night games that I've seen in a while. But let's talk about it in a minute. Let me introduce you guys to my co-host.
Talk to me, Bay Area. Come get your prescription. It's your boy, Dr. Mario.
What's up, Bay Area? It's your boy, the real Jorge.
Hey, what up, you guys? Boy, JJ, the professor.
Wow. What a Sunday and what a Monday night. There's a lot of things that we're going to talk about tonight, but let's just start with the headline. That Monday night football game with Las Vegas Raiders against the New Orleans Saints. Take it away, Jorge.
Yes, indeed. That Monday night game was one for the books as the New Orleans Saints were upset by the Las Vegas Raiders. In the Raiders' first game at Allegiant Stadium, they were able to take down the New Orleans Saints with the final score being 34-24. I must say, JJ and I called it. Josh Jacobs, he was looking phenomenal as usual. Derek Carr, he was finally able to control his offense and not turn the ball over. And the defense, they made key stops when they needed to stop the New Orleans Saints from scoring. I saw this coming, but I'm still actually in shock that the Raiders actually were able to pull off the win. What do you guys think?
As you guys mentioned, my colleagues did call it, particularly Jorge and the professor. They were going after me yesterday. We were going back and forth. I have to admit, I gave the Raiders less credit than what they deserve. They truly stunned me, surprised me, caught me by surprise. I have to say, I underestimated Derek Carr in the offense. Josh Jacobs had one hell of a game. He has a promising and exciting future. I can't wait to see what else he does. Darren Waller, the tight end, came through clutch big time. He came through with some big catches. However, still some sloppy mistakes, still some Raider failures like not being able to convert or fumbling it after hands off. Or how about that goal line stop when the center fumbled it and Derek Carr almost messed up? Raider mistakes, you know, your usual. They still have a lot of work to do, but I have to say they are definitely, in my opinion, after this game, a dark horse team to watch out for. And I'm excited to see in the following weeks what else they come up with when they go against the Chiefs, the Patriots, et cetera, et cetera. And I got to say, the Saints were most definitely missing Michael Thomas out on that field. We thought Emmanuel Sanders was going to slip into the role. However, Emmanuel Sanders was nowhere to be found most of the night, with Kamara taking the bulk of the catches. If you had him PPR league, congrats. You probably had a beast of a night with Alvin Kamara.
I feel like the Raiders are going to give the Kansas City Chiefs a run for their money in the NFC and the AFC West. I normally don't give good praises to the Raiders, but dude, their offense looks solid today. Their defense, yeah, you know, needs a little bit more work, but Josh Jacobs did his thing. Carr did his thing. You know, Renfro, Waller, the Raiders are on a come up, man. I was very entertained. I was on the edge of my seat. Really like the stadium, the Death Star. This is how excited you'll ever hear me about talking about the Raiders.
I wanted to also add, gentlemen, Derek Carr finished with a surprising 28-for-38 completion two attempts, throwing for 282 yards and finishing with 3 touchdowns. Outplaying Drew Brees, who finished it with 26-for-38 for 312 yards, 1 touchdown. And 1 interception.
Yeah, that sounds like trash, bro. Thank you for the update. I am going to take out my trash later on today. Let's be honest. We all know what's the best way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's through the running game. You keep Mahomes off the field. You keep him on the sidelines. That's the best way you're going to beat him. It's already been proven. The 49ers last year in the Super Bowl having the best defense in the league, and they couldn't stop him. Keep Mahomes and that explosive offense off the field, and the Raiders, it looks like they have something cooking. But let's go back and give the man that has done this, Chucky. All right, John Gruden, he turned this franchise around. Everybody laughed at him because of the whole Antonio Brown circus show that he had over there. But look who's laughing now. 2-0, looking pretty. And they beat a playoff contender. Even though, yes, they didn't have Michael Thomas. Props to Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. Now, for the Saints part, it's very concerning for me. Fantasy-wise and just in general, Drew Brees is starting to look his age, ladies and gentlemen. He's starting to look his age, slowing down. I don't know what it is. Week 1, 14 points fantasy-wise. Week 2, 14 points against a dreadful secondary of the Raiders. If you drafted Drew Brees, slap yourself, because he's not that spring young chicken that we all are used to seeing. Saints, they need to regroup because it was a very, very bad showing. You're missing your best wide receiver, but your Hall of Famer quarterback, and they look very lackluster. The only player that came to play was Kamara, and Kamara is going to be Kamara. That's my take on that Monday night game. And, wow, shocked. I'm glad I didn't put no money. And shout out to JJ and the real Jorge for calling in on the last podcast that the Raiders were going to win. And they did.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
So starting off with 49er news. Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas indeed are out for the season with torn ACLs, as it was confirmed today as of Monday. The defensive end and NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2019 was injured during a play in which his left knee buckled up under his body. Bosa immediately grabbed his knee. Also keep in mind, guys, Nick Bosa, during his senior year in high school, just 5 years ago, also hurt his anterior cruciate ligament, which is also known as an ACL tear, on his opposite leg in the right knee. Solomon Thomas on Sunday, just two plays after Bosa went down, hurt his ACL as well. Solomon Thomas is known to be one of the Niners' high hopes of having a breakout season this year after being drafted number 3 overall in the 2017 draft out of Stanford. To make things worse, he is currently under his final year of his rookie contract, so it's not looking too promising for Solomon Thomas and his return to the San Francisco 49ers.
It's a very disheartening loss to the San Francisco 49ers. The defensive rookie of the year, technically the 1B number draft pick in the draft alongside Kyler Murray. He changed everything on that defense for the San Francisco 49ers. What's the two things that every NFL team look for? Or three things. It's franchise quarterback, a one in a lifetime talent of a defensive end like Nick Bosa, and a pure shutdown corner. Nick Bosa, we 49ers fans, we know what he is. We know his talent, and I'm so disappointed. Get well, my man. Nick Bosa, shout out. Come back stronger next year.
I was pretty sad to hear the news in regards to Nick Bosa. The moment I saw the injury happen, gentlemen, I immediately closed my eyes and I felt cold, and I felt like, you know, that feeling you get when something bad happens, you know, from the heart and goes all the way down to your stomach and you feel sick and cold and you get goosebumps at the same time. That's how I felt the moment I saw Nick Bosa's injury, gentlemen. It even put me in a bad mood. I was so thrilled to see Sunday football. My Niners team rolled past the Jets, and there's a meme going around, even though it feels like we won, we feel like we gave up everything just to win, and it almost feels like this win wasn't worth it. As for Jorge's take on Solomon Thomas, it never did look good on Solomon Thomas coming back, Jorge. Rick has been very vocal and critical in regards to Solomon Thomas' performance the past couple of seasons. And though I've tried to defend Solomon Thomas, it's hard to argue with every passing game and season Solomon Thomas' pro performance. If we take you number 3 overall, we expect better performance on the field. You could take Nick Bosa, for example. That's the type of dominant performance we expected off of him. I'm sad to see both players get injured. We wish him a speedy recovery, and both players nothing but the best. Nick, get well soon, buddy.
I was very, very saddened by this too, man. It was crazy to see Nick Bosa down on the field. Nick Bosa, I feel like, was the heart of our defense. This just going to change our season completely. I wish him a speedy recovery, and I'm looking forward to next season because I know he'll come back stronger and better than ever.
In other 49er news, gentlemen, the injuries unfortunately just kept on piling on, as it was a black day in the NFL for injuries all around. But in particular for the 49ers, who finished the day with a whooping 7-player injuries. Amongst them is the 2 players we mentioned, but other notable injuries included the 2 running back combo of Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman, whom left the game with knee sprains. Tevin Coleman, however, seems as the more severe injury due to the fact that he's looking at a timetable of 2 to 4 weeks with a knee sprain. So it should be interesting to see how Jerick the Jet McKinnon and Jeff Wilson and Jamichael Hasty step up over at running back over the next couple of games.
Poured on top with more bad news. Dee Ford did not even fly out to New York, the Meadowlands, to face the New York Jets. As you guys know, the edge rusher Dee Ford stayed in Santa Clara after missing multiple practices due to a neck injury. Well, everyone thought it was a neck injury and turned out to be a back injury. He's been having back spasms. Right now, it's not looking good. There's no update on his injury yet. They will evaluate him by Wednesday, see how he's doing. And by Wednesday, we should have a report whether he's going to be playing in week 3. I hope they just, you know, be conservative and keep him out, especially with that field. We already lost enough players. Keep them healthy and just go on to, you know, week 4. Can beat the New York Giants even without Dee Ford. New York Giants team has depleted a lot now that they have no Shepherd or Saquon Barkley. And on another good and sort of bad news on George Kittle. Now, he is dealing with a sprain MCL on his left knee and sidelined him for week two, as you guys saw. They are very hopeful that he will most likely play week three. He's been walking around the facilities, the Niners facilities, and without limping. He's been running. He's been doing his training. He looks good. They're saying he's going to be good to go for week three. I feel like they should sit him too. That turf is not doing us any good.
So, yes, the 49ers got hit hard with the injury bug. I will call it doomsday Sunday. Week two Sunday, and as we all know already, Jimmy Garoppolo left the game with a high ankle sprain, and he tried to tough it out through the first half, and now he's day-to-day. They thought he might miss a couple of games. It looks like he will play. He wants to play. I guess Kyle Shanahan was going to wait and see how he feels. We have a decent backup. This is why we kept Nick Mullins. I think we'll be okay. So now we're going to give you guys free game. This is the segment we call Free Game Waiver Wire Pickups for Week 3. With that, Professor JJ, start us off, man. Let's go.
All right. Starting off, my waiver wire pickups for Week 3 is going to have to be the mustache himself, Gardner Minshew. The second, man, he's been playing lights out. I mean, Week 1, you know, he didn't have that many passing yards, but Week 2 went for 339 yards and 3 TDs. Fantasy-wise, 20 points Week 1, 23 points Week 2. If you are in need of a quarterback, if you're 0-2 and you're in need of a quarterback to, you know, help pick up your games, Gardner Minshew, you got to go with him. For my second pick will have to be Devontae Freeman. Yeah, I get it. He's been a free agent for the whole season, the whole offseason, everything. No team wanted to sign him. But now that the New York Giants, they're in need of a running back since they lost Saquon Barkley to a torn ACL for the rest of the year. They're bringing in Freeman to do a workout, and take this with a grain of salt. If they sign him, you know he's not going to start the first week. But the second week, I feel like he can take the job away from Deion Lewis. Keep an eye out. Hear what they're going to talk about. If they sign him or not, those are my two picks. How about you, Rick? What do you got?
Free game right here, yo. This your boy Rick Rock. Y'all know what time it is. You know how we do it over here. Freegame.com. Check me out. TheHoodie.com. My two players are Joe Burrow and Mike Davis. Boom! Joe Burrow, as you already know, number one pick of the Cincinnati Bengals. He's been putting some decent numbers. A lot of people are completely sleeping on him. Number one, just like Minshew, he has a horrible defense. Basically, he has no defense. In week one, for his first game against the LA Chargers, he did pretty good. He had 193 yards passing, 46 yards rushing, and he had 16 points. Against the Cleveland Browns, he had 316 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he had 24 points. I mean, he's putting up some solid numbers for a rookie quarterback. He's got to throw a lot. They're going to be playing from behind a lot. Rusted him, put him on your bench just in case your number one quarterback gets injured. He'll be ready to go pretty much. If you don't know, now you know. Now, my number two waiver pick of week three is Mike Davis. Mike Davis, as you all know, former 49er running back, former Seattle Seahawks running back. Remember, he came in as a backup for Chris Carson a few years ago, and he balled the hell out. I can actually see the same thing for him coming in for McCaffrey. He can do it all. He can catch. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. Of course, McCaffrey being the number one fantasy running back, you guys must pick him up. Roster Mike Davis. Now, with that, the real Jorge, freegame.com. Give it to us, man.
I believe all the listeners want to listen to me because this is coming from a guy that went 4-0 in week two. My number one waiver wire pickup for week number three. This is a little bit of a risk, but I think if he keeps doing his thing, he will take the job away as the bell cow runner for the Los Angeles Rams. I am talking about Darrell Henderson Jr., second year back for the Rams, finally had his first ever breakout game last week. With only 12 rushing attempts, he was able to get 81 yards, a rushing touchdown, and he also caught 2 receptions on 3 targets for 40 yards. That's just scratching the surface of the earth. I believe the sky's the limit for this guy. He was one of the most hyped up Rams running back last year coming out of Memphis, and he has killer speed. Look out for Darrell Henderson Jr. And my number two waiver wire pickup for week number three. I can't believe this guy's even on waivers. Quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill. Ever since last year, for the second half of the season leading up to the playoffs, he was lights out. It's been told by the head coach that his talent is just scratching the earth. And That's shocking to say, because in week two, he was able to throw for 4 touchdowns, 239 yards. And in week one, he threw for 249 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ryan Tannehill is going to lead the pack for the Tennessee Titans for the rest of the season. I feel like Derrick Henry is not going to carry the team this year.
So let me guess, fellow listener, your team got banged up, have a few holes in your team. Don't worry, step into my clinic. Doctor has the right remedy for you. He has the right tools, the right patches, the right band-aids to patch up all them holes. Among the first pickups, none other than 49er running back Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon, week one, had an okay performance for his debut, finishing off with 10.4 fantasy football points. He had 3 receptions for 20 yards and 1 touchdown, 3 rushing attempts for 24 yards. However, week two is when he amped it up slightly more, when he had 3 rushing attempts for 77 yards, 1 rushing touchdown, finished off the game with 13.7 points. I also would like to add that with the given injuries of Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman, this boosts Jerick McKinnon's stock way up. Definitely a must pick up in my opinion. Tina Kyle Shanahan and the Niners like to lean on the running game, and he's a pass catching back. And as my uncle Rick said, CMC did get injured. However, if you're smart like the doctor, you already have backups in plan, baby. And I already have Jerick McKinnon. I don't need to pick him up. That's how you do it, Uncle Rick. I'm on my second pickup. We're going to stick with the 49ers, baby. George Kittle's down for the count. Pick up Jordan Reed ASAP. Jordan Reed had a tremendous second game outing against the New York Jets, finishing off with 8 targets, 7 receptions for 50 yards, and 2 touchdowns, 17 fantasy football points. A must pick up in the doctor's eyes. Go out and get him. And if these bandits don't fix you up, any of the other recommendations from my colleagues should be able to patch up your fantasy football team. Go get them. Ice up fantasy, baby.
So now I want to put my cast through this super, super rapid fire questions for everybody here in the cast. And I want them to give me their deep sleeper waiver wire pickup for this coming week. Mine is Jeff Wilson, running back for the San Francisco 49ers. He's a monster. He's pretty damn big. He's going to get the goal line carries. Make sure you pick him up. What do you got, Meyer?
As my deep fantasy waiver pickup, I'll put you on some real game. Got the ibuprofen extra large pill for your ass. My colleague JJ mentioned the mustache earlier. One of his primary weapons the past 2 weeks has been none other than Keelan Cole Sr., wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is rostered in only 1.9% of leagues, and he's averaging 11 points per game, and he's currently positioned as a number 23 player in his position ranking. I would say Keelan Cole Sr. from the Jacksonville Jaguars, wide receiver. Putting my Uncle Rick on the game. He's already writing it down. Jay's already trying to claim him as we speak, guys. And with that, I'll give it to my colleague, the real Jorge.
My deep, deep sleeper is none other than my boom or bust pick on this year's fantasy draft, John Ross III. He has yet to break out this year, but the way Joe Burrow's playing right now, I think his breakout game is coming real, real soon.
Yeah, I'm glad that's not free game, because that ain't free game, bro. That's trash game. Anyway, for me, for the professor, I'm going to give you someone everyone's sleeping on, man. Everyone. Russell Gage, wide receiver from the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons managed to get the lead and keep having to do a shootout to try to win the game. Dude, he has had great stats for the first 2 weeks. In week one against Seattle, 9 receptions for 114 yards, 0 TDs, but made 11 fantasy points. Week two against Dallas, 6 receptions for 46 yards and 1 touchdown. Having a loaded offense like they do over there with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, Russell Gage is still making an impact, still making a name for himself. Yeah, you guys are sleeping. I know that. He is at least a flex option. Pick him up. If you don't, you'll regret it.
Wow, that's some good picks, man, you guys. Great, great. Hope you guys are listening to all this free game we're giving you guys. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody. Make sure to check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, iSelf Fantasy Podcast, and we'll see you till next time.
Sipping on Ciroc till 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat till 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.